Welcome to the Architect My Life podcast. I'm Maya Schlachter, serial entrepreneur and CEO of the MGS Global Group, where we serve architecture and design firms with project delivery, such as drafting, 3D visualization, and graphics production support. I am also the founder of Architect My Life. My goal is to help creative entrepreneurs such as architects and other design-related professionals scale their business to six or seven figures. I also show them how it's possible to do this while living a rich life outside their work, reclaiming time and energy for themselves and their families. Creatives were taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run and grow a business. Each podcast episode features a different entrepreneur from the creative industry who shares their journey towards success. If you have a growth story that others in our community could benefit from hearing, stick around to the end of the show to see how you could be a guest in one of our future episodes. Now, let's dive into this episode. So today, I'm really looking forward to introducing our guests today, both women entrepreneurs, architects, designers, moms, amazing women. From the Mancini Duffy office, both are principals and co-owners as well. Am I correct? Yes. Today, it's Bolanle William Oli and Jessica Man Amato. So Bolanle William Oli is the chief financial officer and part owner of Mancini Duffy, a technology-first design firm based in New York City, where she oversees the firm's financial and operational performance with over 12 years of experience working in the AEC industry for major firms like SOM and HWL. At her core, she thrives on building relationships between finance and management teams to ensure that overall financial success of the projects and of her firm. Her clients include American Airlines, Soho House, Brooklyn Nets, Bokera, Verizon, and NBC Sports Group. A thought leader and speaker, Bola is passionate about service and is the founder of several organizations such as She Builds Lives, Reach Nigeria, and She Builds Money, which she can share later on in the conversation. She holds a master's degree in education and social policy from NYU and master's in applied mathematics and a bachelor's in mathematics from City University of New York Hunter College. She also is the author of Build Boldly, Chart Your Unique Career Path, and Lead with Courage. She is married with two kids and obsessed with throwing fun theme parties. And our other guest is Jessica Man Amato. She is also the principal and the co-owner at Mancini. Over 20 years of client-focused design experience, she oversees workplace strategy, space planning, and interior design for their New York office. She has created spaces for clients such as Indeed, Rent the Runway, McGraw-Hill, and among many other clients. Jessica believes that true design inspiration is achieved with collaboration within her group and with her clients, making mentoring and professional development a key component in her work. Before joining Mancini, Jessica worked with also major architecture firms like the Spector Group, HW, Nelson, and many others. She served as the 2009-2010 International Interior Design Association as the New York chapter president. She's a graduate of the Ringling College of Art and Design. Welcome, ladies. And let's dive into my first question. So tell us about your childhood. This is always a good place to start for me because I want to learn how you became who you are based on your childhood and, you know, some of the mentors along the way.
Sure. So for me, my childhood was very interesting and fun. I grew up in Nigeria. I'm originally from Nigeria. And, you know, I am an only child to a single mom. And so, you know, for me, my mom played a major part in my life, in my upbringing, in making sure that, one, I had the best education possible, as well as just really enriching childhood. I was always around, even though I was an only child, I was always around cousins, spent lots of holidays. So the holidays are very important to me with my cousins. It was just fun, right? So even though I was an only, I never always felt like an only because I was always around family Part of what she did for me was, you know, just model the importance of relationships and honoring people, respecting people. And so I saw a lot of that. She was also an entrepreneur. So, you know, she worked 9 to 5 as a controller and then ventured into entrepreneurship and started her own business. So I was always watching, right? It made me curious about running businesses. So part of the things I did early on was like sell cards in my high school. And then, you know, she prepared me to come to college in the States. So at 17, I moved to the US and I've now been here almost 20 years.
Oh, wow. That makes sense. Having a strong role model as a mom.
Yes.
Jessica.
Yes. I grew up in Tallahassee, Florida. I have family all throughout the South. So I'm really a Southern girl at heart, even though I've been in New York for 21 years. So my family scattered throughout out the South. I grew up on a homestead, much like a farm. So we had a lot of huge gardens. We had, you know, chickens and goats and rabbits. And I'm one of three children. I'm the middle child. So it was a very fun way to grow up in that kind of a setting. I also had a lot of family around. I grew up with all of my cousins. I have both sets of grandparents. So always huge family gatherings, and it made for a very fun and boisterous childhood. My mother was a stay-at-home mom until I was 10 years old. My father was a Vietnam vet, and he also had his own business. He built custom pools. So they were both, you know, my mom really instilled in us this sense of being true to who we are and being curious and always working hard. And my dad was always a tinkerer, kind of creating things. My parents got divorced when I was young. My mom remarried. My stepfather is a French historian. One of the hardest workers I've ever known in my life, authored many books. He's the head of the history department at the college that he teaches at, and just a very hardworking man. And he really taught us the work ethic, I think, that myself and my siblings have. I also have a grandmother who is an artist, a portrait artist. She's very, very talented. And another grandmother who was always sort of a wannabe decorator her whole life. So the love, I think, for everything architecture and design sort of came from both of them in the way that they always looked at the world. So I think a lot of that kind of comes to me very naturally just in my family. My grandfather was also a structural engineer, so very analytical. And so thinking about sort of systems and the analytics of how everything works together comes from him as well. And I had some amazing mentors through high school, professor, Mr. Wigley, who kind of took an angsty teenage girl and focused my energy, which really led me on the path that I'm on. And then a great professor in college as well, Ruth Beals, who really pushed me hard and taught me to continue to strive and be the absolute best that we could be. So I think, you know, all of that sort of led me to my path in college and then to where I am in New York now.
It's great. New York has given you both opportunities to thrive. And a lot of very successful people are actually not from New York City. And that's where they flourish. Yes. Because that city has given you the opportunity to do that. And one of the things that I really, I'm glad that you both are here together is because I want to talk about the leadership that is that Mancini is committed to. I know that you really want to mentor people, both your staff professionally and personally, and you even have the Hugh Mancini approach, right? Is that a thing? Like you have a Hugh Mancini approach for the employees to help them with their career path and the timeline, which is really important. But so tell us about, you know, how the company really decided to focus on personal and professional growth of your employees.
So we've always been really good at that, I think. We have always believed in sort of fostering a sense of belonging and getting everyone's voice involved, you know, from the junior designer or architect right out of school, you know, all the way through leadership and principals within the firm. we do that, I think, by looking inward to our own employees and also outward. You know, we don't have egos. We believe that the best projects and the best solutions are really created through teamwork. And so we really encourage the entire team to be a part of the process throughout everything. We're very entrepreneurial, so we look to develop our employees. So if they have a great idea, we want to give them the leverage to build upon that and to create new, you know, divisions of the company and to experience new things that will help to build the company and push us in new directions. And we have a very strong focus on mentoring and helping people kind of build their own career path. So we have monthly mentorship sessions, which allow us to help bolster each person's personal career development in the direction that they want to push it. And I think it all sort of starts with recruitment and retention, a big focus on diversity and inclusion in that. We're in a great market for that. We have some amazing schools in the area that we like to partner with for that. And then I think just transparency of, you know, what roles are and how you develop within the firm, you know, through achieving things and transparency and salary in that way.
Yeah. And one of the things I read, sorry, Bola, your book called The Power of Yes. There's I want you to talk about this, about the power of yes. And it says here, the same thing happened in technology. One of your employees suggested something and, you know, you let them run with it. So can you talk about that?
Yes, definitely. So just like Jessica said, right, our employees or our approach is really to allow our employees thrive, right? So we want the great big ideas that you can think of. We want you to feel comfortable approaching leadership, sharing these ideas with us. And how we see it is, how can we support you in these goals that you have? So that's where the power of yes comes through, right? So if you come to us, you say, this is something I want to explore, we say yes. The other thing is we spend so much time together, right? Like I keep thinking, like, if you hide these certain parts of yourselves or things that you want to explore, interests that you have, if you keep that away, then how are you going to flourish and grow as a person, right? I feel like you find people are more fulfilled, or employees, your teammates are more fulfilled when they feel like their companies actually care about these ideas that they have, right? And looking for ways in which we can explore it. So we are happy to say yes if someone comes to us with an idea. So the one that you had mentioned is, you know, around the design lab and like really thinking about how we can, as a company, push the profession forward. So this person came out was like, we should try 3D printing. We kicked Christian, our president, out of his office so we could, you know, set up a 3D printing room. And now that idea, with other employees coming together, with Christian, with Jessica, like it has now grown to a full design lab where we have a fleet of 3D printers. We have a VR session of ways in which we now design. Imagine if we had said no. You know, we won't be designing the way we do. We won't be challenging ourselves the way we do, in which we are using, in the ways in which we're using technology now. So it's, for me, it's so fascinating to see how we as leaders get pushed, our employees get pushed into their potential to see the things that, the progress that we've made by saying yes. Right. So there are some companies that would say, oh, well, but this might take out of time. This might take out of project billability. But for us, we're seeing the long term impact that it can have on not just the individual, but the entire firm. So the power of yes is really strong.
I love it. I think every firm owner should listen to this podcast. I mean, this podcast episode.
I agree.
And speaking of technology. Yeah. Speaking of technology, can you tell us about the tool belt? I'm really curious about it.
Absolutely. So the tool belt is a proprietary software that we created in order to really immerse our clients into our design. So I think honestly, what makes us great designers is through our design process and through the process of having them really become an integral team member of our design. And so from initial workplace strategy, where we're really getting to know them, getting inside their heads, understanding you know, the pros and cons of how they're working, solving their problems through design thinking. This is a tool that allows us to immerse them into a 3D environment so that they are within our design thinking throughout our whole process. So from initial test fit, where we're immersing them into the 3D environment and they can explore what the environment actually looks like in real time in 3D, all the way through final design, you know, where we're studying how light affects the space, we're studying how materials apply to the space. You know, so it's really an immersive process from start to finish. And the great thing about Toolbelt is that it allows us to, as that team, explore optionality in real time within the environment. So as we're looking at kind of big idea concepts, we can literally within the environment make the changes. And so we're able to very quickly come to consensus on ideas. We're able to, you know, quickly explore them and then come to consensus on them. And that is very helpful, especially when you're dealing with, say, a board of people that you need to present to. And it sort of helps them to get inside your head as you're walking them through that design process and get to that consensus so that we can move forward into the construction faster.
So is this only for your company? Is it something that you plan to share and like sell in the future? I mean, that could be very profitable and also very beneficial for other firms.
Absolutely. It is. You can purchase it now. There's a free trial available to students, but you can go to thetoolbelt.com and you can purchase it. And our idea is really to change the industry. You know, we'd love for the industry to become much more immersive in the way that we are designing. And we'd love to, you know, do away with paper. And, you know, in the future, we'd like to have everyone kind of walking through design in this 3D immersive environment. And not having to print paper anymore, not having to, you know, submit drawings to the DOB. We'd like to do everything within this virtual environment.
That's great. That's, it's also sort of very sustainable.
Yes.
Wow. I wish I worked in your firm when I graduated 20 years ago. Yeah. I think I mentioned I may have applied to get a job, but I found another job earlier, but I'm too old for that now. So this is one of the questions I really want to ask Bola and maybe Jessica, but this is more like finance. So creatives were taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run or grow a business, right? I mean, not a lot of firm owners can pay a CFO like Bola. You know, a lot of firm owners are small-time, you know, mompreneurs or single sole practitioners. So tell us, what kind of advice would you give to someone who has no clue in terms of finance, like maybe the top three? Because there are a lot of us women who don't know much about finance.
Yeah, so this is like my favorite question or favorite topic to talk about. And you are right in terms of the stats, right? So even though the industry has a lot of large players, small firms make up at least, I believe it's somewhere around 70% of the industry. And the makeup of the 70% are women, or women who left, you know, these large companies, started their own business. And so in some ways, this is why I started She Builds Money, right? It's how can we make the finance tools or knowledge or tips that we work with, you know, I understand the accounts receivable or accounts payable, but how can you make that knowledge digestible for a small firm owner, right? So my very first advice is don't be afraid of the numbers. I know you love to design. I know you love to make beautiful things and, you know, build these structures, but don't be afraid of the numbers because you're also running a business. You're not running an expensive hobby. You're also in business to be successful, and you're in business to be financially successful, not just building or, you know, building your clients, right? You also want to make this, well, depending on why you're in business, you want to make sure you're running a successful business, right? So the first tip I will give is don't be afraid to look at the numbers. And the reason why I say that is, there's so much power in understanding or getting yourself familiar with what your numbers are telling you, because then you can now make the right decisions. An example is with billing, right? So that's the one thing we do. Or maybe let me take a step back, is we're tracking your time, right? So you plan, you have a project that you won, you have hours that you projected to complete this project. Now, when you actually start doing the project, are you tracking how much time or the effort it takes for you to complete it, right? So maybe you had initially started off with, oh, it will take me 100 hours. And what if you ended up at 120 hours or 200 hours? Then that means that project is losing money. Or what if you were able to come in under, then that means that project is making you more money. But if you're not tracking the time, if you're not paying attention to how your project is performing, then you're not going to know. You're essentially driving your projects blind, right? So the first thing is your mindset. Don't be afraid of the numbers. The second reason is because the numbers put you in a position where you can be proactive about the decisions you're making for your firm, right? So aside tracking time, you want to be able to track your invoices, because as money is leaving your organization, you need that money to come into your organization, right? So you're working, you want to make sure you're billing your clients for the projects you're working on. And that's how you start building revenue that then again gives you the ability to say, oh, I think I have a lot of work. I now need to hire someone. You can't make business decisions without paying attention to your number. How do you know? We're about to go into 2022. We're about to go into the new year. And you're going to put a business plan together, or you're going to start saying, these are the different areas in which I need to make decisions. But if you don't pay attention, I know I keep repeating myself, but that really is why, right? If you don't pay attention, then how do you know if you can buy? How do you know if you can afford the tool belt?
Yeah.
How do you know if your business is growing, how do you know if you can afford to purchase tool belt or to buy new software? How do you make these very critical decisions that will allow you not remain small, but keep growing so that you can stay in business, right? So these are just some of the real examples I like to give as to why the finances of running a company is very, very critical to look at. And I think I'll just end by saying, make the process simple for you. Right? I have something called 15-minute Fridays. So now I'm speaking to small firms, right? If you don't have a CFO or a controller in your business, you have to put on that hat. You have to put on that accounting hat, right? And so on a Friday, make a meeting with yourself. How much money did I get into the business this week? How much money went out of the business this week? You know, and that's pretty much you understanding your cash position. Do I need to do invoices this week? Who do I need to follow up with this week? I've given you four habits that you can instill every Friday. And so then when you start doing it in small bites, small digestible bites, you begin to get comfortable. You begin to start understanding where your firm is from a financial, where your firm is in terms of its financial position. And so you have to start small, then you continue being consistent. And before you know it, as your firm is growing, then maybe you will now need to hire a part-time bookkeeper, or then maybe you need to hire a controller. You don't have to hire one full-time. There are part-time fractional CFOs that you can bring on as your business is growing. But you need to have the right resources. You need to have the right tools. And first of all, your foundation, which is getting comfortable with looking at your numbers, you need to address that, and then everything else is just going to follow.
Okay, thank you. So bottom line, firm owners, 15 minutes a week will not kill you. You spend hundreds of hours drafting, but 15 minutes a week is really a foundation that everyone should spend, looking at their finances. Speaking of business, I want to ask Jessica, about business development strategies, especially for an emerging, your firm has been around for a long time, but can you give us advice, or small firm owners advice on business development, how to find new clients? The problem I see is a lot of firm owners just get their business from friends, family, referral. But what happens when the pipeline is gone?
It's really about building a network, and it's about building a diverse network of people that you can rely on. So, you know, it's everything, quite honestly, from personal connections, from business connections, you know, always having great relationships with project managers, contractors, vendors. It's really about kind of tapping into all of those connections and making sure that you have those people to reach out to, because, and I say connection a lot, ultimately you're looking for someone who can help you to make the connection to the project that you're going after. And more these days, it's also about social media connections, you know, it's LinkedIn, Instagram, and maintaining those connections as well. So it's really kind of having that diversity in all of your connections so that you have that person who can help you to ultimately put you in touch with the right person to make that call or send that email introduction.
Yeah, I always mention to people that building a business without a network is like building a house in sand. And women or creatives in general should be more outgoing and less, what do you call that? Introvert. You know, a lot of artists, creatives are introverts. But if you want to be a successful business owner, you got to really network and build your community.
Absolutely. And that's the first thing I teach young designers is get involved in your industry, get to know people, learn how to network, build those, you know, networks of connection within all the different facets of design and architecture that you touch that will allow you to have that. You know, we all have to have our tribe. Yes. And I think without it, you know, just like you said, you're building a house on sand. You have to have people to prop you up.
That's true. I can't believe we're about to wrap up, but I want to talk about Bola's book. I really loved your book. And I actually read this while quarantining. It was so inspiring. I was like, I can't wait to leave my basement so I can be bold.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm glad you had that.
One of my favorite ones is the courage to say goodbye. This is major. I've had experiences where I had to, you know, break off with a partner. But sometimes, you know, this is important, especially for if you want to succeed, sometimes you need to build your tribe of people who support you and share your goals. So talk about the courage to say goodbye.
Yeah. So, that one was tough to write down, but it's really an important idea or concept that firm owners have to embrace. And really, the courage to say goodbye is looking at, you know, either the pool of people that you're working with, who really fits in that vision. It would be your partners, be it your employees. And a lot of times, like, you know, you find this weird situation where people are just tolerating people, right? And it's doing a disservice to the employee because they could possibly be thriving elsewhere. It's doing a disservice to you because they don't fit into your vision. And so a lot of us now have to really put on our, you know, I'm a girl, so I'll say our big girl pants on and make tough decisions that in the long run benefit both parties. A lot of times, you know, if you're able to then say, you know, that goodbye, you find that the person moves on, either, you know, then finds their own tribe, but then you're able to now fill in that role, that position with somebody who really buys into your vision. And so, yeah, it's what once you now get to this leadership managing position, you have to, it's one of the things that you just have to start getting a bit more comfortable with, as difficult as it may be. We don't like it, right? A lot of us either don't like to be in uncomfortable situations, but our firms will not grow if we don't have that courage, or if we don't like dig deep and find that courage to say goodbye to sometimes people, sometimes clients, even though we don't want to, right? But you might have a really difficult client that maybe at the end of the day, you're both not serving each other and it's affecting financially the organization, right? So you have to have that courage to say goodbye.
I think every leader, decision maker needs to read your book because it's an easy read and it's really very digestible and very relatable, in my opinion, because, you know, it's not, I mean, it was such an easy read and very inspirational for me. And I'm halfway through the book, but I'm really enjoying this a lot. And it was perfect. It arrived when I started quarantine.
I'm glad.
So Jessica, where do you see your firm in 3 years?
We are going to continue to move towards our big hairy goal of kind of a paperless world moving forward. And also, you know, looking to expand and build upon our 360 design and expand to other markets as well. So, you know, there's a lot of facets that that includes. And so we're working on our strategic plan right now in order to meet some of those big hairy goals moving forward.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm super
I'm just excited. Yeah, it's Sorry, so I'll say, you know, when I saw this question, I just thought about where we were 3 years ago and where we are now and the growth that has happened, like real, real exponential growth, even through the pandemic, right? Like the design lab has been extremely innovative, almost forced because we all had to be home. So they had to think about ways in which we can now take this 3D virtual reality design sessions all online. So imagine what else they're going to accomplish. You know, the design lab will accomplish and us as a firm will accomplish in the next 3 years. I'm really excited to see.
I'm really excited about your enthusiasm. A lot of firm owners fear their future, but you guys are falling in love with your future, which I think everyone should do. So I think we're almost out of time, but where can our audience find you, Bola and Jessica?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn, my first and last name, Bolanle Williams Ollie, and Instagram at Bolanle_HQ. And then on my website, www.bolanlewo.com.
And your book, where can they find it?
Yeah, so they can find it on my website and it's available for purchase on Amazon.
Okay, I will drop all the links also in the show notes. And Jessica?
Same on LinkedIn, Jessica Manamato, my full name, and on Instagram at Jessica Manamato.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you so much. And I appreciate your time. And this was extremely inspiring. I definitely learned a lot and I'll use all of your strategies in finance and business development. Try to get out of my shell and meet more people. And I appreciate, you know, all the knowledge that you've shared, all your accumulated knowledge that you've shared in this podcast episode. And that being said, have a wonderful rest of your day. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Architect My Life podcast. We'd love to hear from you on social media using the hashtag Architect My Life podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at @Aya_ArchitectMyLife. That's Aya, A-Y-A, _ArchitectMyLife. And for women firm owners, I invite you to join the Architect My Life private Facebook group. If you haven't already, we'd appreciate it if you'd subscribe to the show, as well as rate or review us wherever you access podcasts. And if you think you have something to add to the conversation through your success running a business, we invite you to apply to be a guest in one of our upcoming episodes. Visit architectmylife.com/podcast to learn more. Maybe you're not in a position to share your success story yet. That's okay. Take your business to the next level with our coaching and online courses. Get everything you need at architectmylife.com. Remember, there is a way to manage it all so you can achieve more. I'm Aya Schlachter. Thanks again for listening.